Our topic today is spiritual seeing scriptures or spiritual sight scriptures. Now, in a previous session, we introduced a new activity that will help us see in the spiritual realm. In general, we're talking about experiencing the realm, but we've been focusing this last week and today on seeing in the spiritual realm, okay? Now, who did last week's activity at least three times this last week? At least three times. A couple times? Okay, I would encourage you to do this every day, in fact, several times a day. I want to emphasize an important point from our previous sessions, and it's this. Developing your spiritual sight is about becoming more effective in Father's kingdom. It's not something you do for your own benefit or pleasure. As human beings, we are inherently self-centered, so we look at the spiritual gifts and so forth, all things that God does, it's all about us. Well, excuse me, it's not all about us. It's all about Father and His Son, Jesus, right? Okay, we need to constantly remind ourselves of that. So when we talk about seeing in the spiritual realm, we're not talking about something we want to do because it's a lot of fun or curious, you know, whatever. No, it's not about us. We are talking about ways to improve our effectiveness and efficiency in God's kingdom. That is our focus. That includes being able to see in the spiritual realm. Matthew 6:33 says to seek first God's kingdom and His righteousness. In other words, make His kingdom and righteousness your priority. Now, these are introductory comments. You're not going to see them on your worksheet yet, okay? In other words, this means make God's kingdom and righteousness your top priorities. That's going to require you to humble yourself and to trust Him to take care of you. It's not about us. Do you understand that? I'll keep reminding you because I need to keep hearing it, and I suspect you do too as well. Hebrews 5:14 refers to those who by constant use train themselves to distinguish, who by constant use train themselves to distinguish between good and evil. That is a more general principle. It really applies to all spiritual principles. So, we need to, by constant use, train ourselves in spiritual matters. And we do that by constantly using our spiritual abilities, our spiritual gifts, our spiritual disciplines, and so forth. All of those things, we keep doing those because they strengthen us. They also allow us, enable us to serve in God's kingdom more effectively. Now, please persevere in these things, okay? Don't get discouraged if you try to see in the spiritual realm or sense something in the spiritual realm or hear God's voice or anything like that, and you're not getting the results. Don't get discouraged, please. Worthwhile changes often are difficult and take time. Did you ride the bicycle the first time perfectly? Did you take your first step perfectly? Well, that kind of thing doesn't change, okay? We don't learn these new skills and abilities just by trying them once or twice. So be persistent. Last week I introduced the concept of seeing the spiritual realm or spiritual beings, and today I want to back that up with more scripture. You might be surprised how many of them there are. I didn't have time to do all these things at one time, so I had to divide them. I gave you some scriptures last week when we talked about the basic principles, and today I want to provide you a broader foundation of scriptures to build on. You ready to begin? Now we are on your worksheet. We're going to examine several Greek words, all of which relate to physical sight, but Scripture also uses them for spiritual sight, as we're going to see. We're going to consider several words. The first ones we're going to look at is the Greek verb eidon, which means to see, to sight, and seeing. It also means to pay attention or to gain understanding by seeing something. Now, the first verse we're going to look at we used in our previous session. That's Mark 6, verses 47 to 48. When evening came, the boat was in the middle of the lake, and he was alone on land. He saw the disciples straining at the oars because the wind was against them. It says, he saw. That's the word eidon. As I pointed out last time, the disciples were in the middle of the lake. They were about 3 to 4 miles offshore. And Jesus went the other direction, up to a mountaintop, away from the coast, okay? So he was more than 4 miles away at night. Yet he not only saw them, he saw what they were doing. Was that possible with physical sight?
No.
Definitely not. I mean, you might be able to see a blip out there that looks like the boat. You might be able to see something that kind of looks like people on it, but you can't see who they are or what they are doing, right?
Not unless they had some type of lamp. That would just be a spot.
Exactly. That's all you see, with just a spot out there. 4 miles away, you can't see details. You can't see what people are doing. So was that possible with physical sight? No.
Yes.
Was it possible with spiritual sight?
Yes.
Would it be possible?
Yes.
Certainly. Look at John 1:33. This is John speaking. He says, I would not have known him except that the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, the man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is he who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. The man on whom you see the Spirit. The word see there is eidon. Excuse me, that's eidon. So, did John see the Spirit descend with his natural or his spiritual eyes? Actually, it doesn't say, does it? It really doesn't say. It could be either natural sight or spiritual sight. It could be. But that doesn't rule out spiritual sight, does it? The Holy Spirit might have come down in a physical, visible form. It doesn't say. It says that Jesus saw it, and John said, the one who sent me to do this said, I would see. But Jesus and John both had the capability of seeing in the spiritual realm, did they not? Okay? It doesn't say that everybody in the crowd saw them, because there was a crowd there. Look at 1 John 48:51. How do you know me? Nathanael asked. Jesus answered, I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you. Then Nathan declared, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. And Jesus said, you believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree. You shall see greater things than that. And then he added, I tell you the truth, you shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. In verse 48, the word saw is eidon. That's the Greek word we're looking at right now. Why must that, in verse 48, where he said, I saw you while you were still under the fig tree, why must that refer to spiritual sight? Why was it impossible for him to see it with eyes? Well, since it doesn't say in the context, I want to point something else out to you. Look at verse 50. Verse 50 says, you believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree. Now, if Jesus had seen him with natural sight, it would not cause Nathanael to believe.
Right.
Oh, yeah, there goes Jesus walking down the street. Okay. But because Jesus said, I saw you, and Nathanael knew that he didn't physically see him, he said, you are the Son of God. Nathanael knew that was impossible for Jesus to see him physically, and that's what caused him to believe. Now, we're going to look at verse 51 a little bit later in just a few moments here, because he uses a different word. All right, look at John 3:3. This is Jesus speaking. I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. Now, the word see there is eidon. If only those who are born again will see the kingdom, does this refer to physical, spiritual, or physical sight?
Because when you're born again, then you have the Holy Spirit in you.
When you're born again, you have the Holy Spirit in you. So you're able to see spiritually, right?
Yes.
Also, since you were born again, then God is restoring the original structure so that you are spirit sensitive, spirit dominant, right?
Right.
There's no physical evidence that a person's eyesight changes when they're born again. Right? There's no evidence that a person's eyesight changes when they're born again.
Right.
I still have to go to an optometrist, as you can tell. All right, look at John 41. Thank you. Look at John 12:41. Isaiah said this because he saw Jesus' glory and spoke about him. Why was it not possible for Isaiah to see Jesus' glory physically?
Because Isaiah was, I don't know how many years before Jesus.
700. Because Isaiah preceded Jesus by 700 years. That's a pretty good reason, right? Yeah. Right. And he was not, you know. Because his name was Isaiah, not Methuselah, right? All right, look at Acts 7, verse 55. In this verse, Stephen was being stoned. Okay? Because of his stand for Christ. They were killing him by stoning him. Verse 55 says, but Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, looked up to heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Again, the word saw there is the Greek word eidon. It's the same Greek word. So, did Stephen see something that doesn't exist because he was hit in the head with a rock?
No.
So why must he have seen God and Jesus spiritually?
Jesus wasn't on earth anymore,
yeah. Mm-hmm. And it says he saw into heaven, right? And he saw God the Father and Jesus. That had to be spiritual sight.
Wow.
One more verse and I'll ask for questions or comments. Look at Acts 11:5. It says, I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision. I saw something like a large sheet being let down from heaven by its four corners, and it came down to where I was. The word saw there, I was in a trance and saw a vision. That word is eidon. Why is it likely he saw this with a spiritual sight?
Because he was up on that rooftop.
He was what?
Up on the rooftop.
Okay.
He was down in the kitchen, seeing the food and all that. Mm-hmm.
He had been up there, and he was in a trance, having a vision while he was on the rooftop. Yeah. Something else over here? He was in prayer posture. Mm-hmm. Well, it could not be a physical sheet let down from the atmospheric heaven, right? Sheets don't fly unless they're being dragged by a bird or something. This was not a physical phenomenon he saw. He was in a trance. He had a vision, mm-hmm. right? He was in a trance and he had a vision, mm-hmm. which says, okay, he might have still been seeing things physically, but what he saw in the vision was not physical. Otherwise, it would not have been a vision. It would just have been, hey, there's a sheet flying up there. Okay? You follow me? So, any questions or comments about this group of scriptures?
So, they're just in download this saw in Eidon is physical seeing.
You might recall in a previous session we talked about what it's like to see something in the spirit. Typically, you will see what your physical eyes are looking at, but you'll see another image superimposed on it. You will see two things simultaneously in the same look physically, in the same apparent location, okay? Because wherever it is you're looking, I will see that, and I will also see something else superimposed on that. It's like having an image projected on a physical object. You follow me? That doesn't mean that your physical eyes are seeing it. Rather, your brain is receiving inputs from two different directions, one from your physical body and one from your spiritual body or spiritual nature. And it's saying, I'm seeing both of these things. Just as I can hear and feel and smell and see at the same time, our minds, our psyches are able to receive inputs from our spirits and our bodies simultaneously. And I think that's what we would call an open vision, where I see the physical realm, but I also see something in the spiritual realm overlaying it, superimposed on it. Any other questions or comments on these verses so far? John.
The one about Stephen?
Yes.
For a long time, I have felt that this is what's going to happen to Christians when they're killed in this modern time. The spirit will be so heavy on them, they won't even feel their captors, you know, destroying their body. Their hearts will be open to the Lord.
Do you think it's possible that as a person is being martyred for the testimony of Jesus, that it will be consistent that we'll be seen into the spiritual realm at that time, or that maybe even we won't even have physical sensation of being physically abused? Do you think that's possible?
Yes. Just like Jesus endured the cross.
Yeah. But even in Jesus' case, he was still physically suffering from his abuse, from the abuse he experienced.
Whatever you focus on, that's what you see or experience more strongly. So if you're focusing on the Lord and heaven, then this is minimal. Example, when I get a shot or something, I squeeze on this to divert my attention, not mm-hmm. the shot, but, you know.
Right.
So.
Well, I like the way you put it. Our attention focuses on it more. It doesn't mean that we necessarily become oblivious to what's happening to us physically. Rather, our attention focuses on something else, so that this is almost irrelevant because of what else I'm sensing or experiencing, right? Any other questions or comments about this group of scriptures? Okay, let's go to the next group. The next Greek verb, or the next word, is a Greek verb, horao, and it means to see or to become aware of something. Now, again, a verse we saw in a previous session was Matthew 5:8. It says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. The word see there is horao. Will someone explain to me why the pure in heart will see God? Explain why the pure in heart will see God spiritually in life, not just in eternity.
In tune with the Spirit.
Because they are in tune with the Spirit, which means what?
Like your Heavenly Father.
Okay.
Jesus.
So we are become like Him, we are attuned to Him, so what difference does that make in this context?
There's communication, there's the presence. You're
mm-hmm.
in the presence of the Lord.
Yes.
Which means light, too.
Yeah.
You're in the light, so you're thinking the same as Jesus would think.
Mm-hmm.
In the light.
Which really orients our spirits then to them, right? To God.
Mm-hmm.
Which facilitates our seeing them in this life, right? Do you follow me?
Transcends.
Great. Yeah.
This may be all made off base, but they will see God. I think as you go through the day and you're walking in the Spirit, you may see God in things that go on. His work, see, you know.
Well,
I guess you're sensitive to it, and that, in a way, maybe seeing God. I don't know.
Right. Someone, I think with Matt a while ago, talked about seeing, whether it's with our physical eyes. What we're talking about here is seeing with our spiritual senses, not necessarily our physical senses. So we talk about seeing God at work when actually we don't see the image of Him doing work. We see the result of what He's doing, right? So we talk about that figuratively as seeing God at work. Actually, what we're seeing is we're seeing the results of what God is doing. So we use the word see just like these other languages do. It can mean literal seeing or figurative seeing, spiritual seeing in this case. So I can say I can see God at work. That doesn't mean I have an image in my spirit receiving an image of Him actually doing the work.
Well, His manifested presence, right? That's what it is, right?
Or not seeing His manifested presence, right. Yeah.
I
can see what He is doing. Or I can see what is happening and attribute it to Him. Might be the better way of putting it, okay? I can see what's actually happening and attribute Him to doing that. Or attributing those results to Him.
Understanding.
Exactly.
Well, that's good.
And that's what a lot of these words mean. They talk about to gain understanding through what you see.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in that particular case, we would still be seeing what is happening in the physical realm, but based on our understanding of Scripture and our personal experience with God, we know that that's Him doing it. So we talk about seeing God do whatever. All right.
Mm-hmm.
We're not seeing it in a literal figurative sense. You know. We don't mean literally, I can see through my spirit, I can see God doing whatever. We're using a term more broadly, more generally.
Well, said, or else you see the results of what He has done.
That's what I'm saying, yes. We see the result and we attribute it to Him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Whereas it can also mean more specifically, in some cases at least, that we literally have an image of God doing something. Or we have an image of what exists or is happening in the spiritual realm. And that's really what we're trying to move toward here. Where we actually see an image from our spirits of what's happening in the spiritual realm.
That see could perhaps be comprehend the works of God, comprehend God's attributes.
Mm-hmm. Yes, we comprehend His attributes, what His nature, we understand what He does, and so forth. Yeah. But again, that's more of the figurative sense. We're not actually literally seeing Him do that. Our English word and the Greek words, and I believe also the Hebrew words for seeing, also include the principle of gaining understanding of what you see. And that's what we're dealing with here as well. That's what our conversation is dealing with here. Any other questions or comments so far? All right, look at Matthew. I'm not finished with this one yet. We're talking about blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God, whether that's possible for them to experience that in life, not just in eternity. In eternity, all believers will see God, right? So this verse really would be meaningless unless it refers to seeing God in this life. Or unless the Bible through the Bible considers all believers are considered pure in heart. No, that's not the case. No. So I would suggest then that this verse can only mean that those who are pure in heart will see God in this life. Because in eternity, all believers will see it. And not all believers are pure in heart, so not all believers will see it in the physical during life. Have I confused you enough?
To me, pure in heart would be like you have the same characteristics that Jesus had.
Or the same motivations, yes.
Mm-hmm. And so you would be more like him because you have a personal relationship with him. So you would be a sort of more kindred. Because your spiritual life and his spiritual life would come together.
Yes.
And so you're closer together. So that's what we talk about, that relationship always.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's look at Matthew 17:3. This is at Jesus' transfiguration. And the disciples were with him on the mountaintop when that occurred. It says, just then there appeared before them Moses and Elijah talking with Jesus. Now the word appeared there is the Greek verb horao. So my question is, did Moses and Elijah enter the physical realm? Or did the disciples see them in the spiritual realm?
Why couldn't it be? I know it's what I'm thinking.
Doesn't say, does it?
No.
It could be either one.
It could have popped down, couldn't it?
Hypothetically, yes. But let's consider something. There is no evidence in life or in Scripture of a deceased person reappearing in physical life. Now, the occult says yes, but they use deception to make people think that they are seeing or hearing deceased family members.
Yeah. Larry, when the dry bones came back together, was it complete?
Whether they recognized the individuals after the dry bones came back together or not, I don't know. But that doesn't really change what we're talking about here, because that was a supernatural intervention on God's part that caused something that should not happen to happen. Okay? Which, to me, really verifies or reinforces the idea that this was a spiritual event, not physical. That's my perspective on it anyway. Any thoughts or comments?
The same thing when Jesus was crucified. People came out of the graves and walked through the city. People recognized them. They were dead.
Mm-hmm.
But they still walked through the city.
Well, when Jesus was crucified and the people were resurrected from the dead, they took on a visible physical form. Yeah. Physical, whatever that specifically means. But they were visible. They saw and they went back into the city and people interacted with them. Mm-hmm. When we are resurrected or taken away, we'll have the same form. We will be visible in the physical realm. We will be tangible. So really, that was just a preface to what we're going to experience in the future, right?
And how did they ID Moses and Elijah, whom they've never met before, what they look like in physical?
That's an excellent question. Somebody want? I would love to jump on that, but somebody likes like to go first. Well, yes, it had to be spiritual, because otherwise how would they have known somebody?
Right.
How would they know who the people are who they have never met?
Right.
It has
well,
to be.
Jesus would have known.
Well, Jesus would have known. He would have introduced them to the disciples, yeah, possibly. But there is a spiritual knowledge and interaction that we don't comprehend with our minds. Mm-hmm. Okay? For example, people who have life after death experiences, something happens, they die, they go to heaven, and they are sent back because their time is not yet time for them to die, and they see people, family members they have never met before. Mm-hmm. A young boy coming back and telling his mother, I saw my older sister, and she says, you don't have a sister. He said, yeah, I saw her. Mm-hmm. She never told him that she had a miscarriage. Mm-hmm. Okay? Mm-hmm. So there is this spiritual knowledge, and scripture says we will know as we are known.
That's right.
In other words, we're going to have perception and understanding and insight that we can't possibly have now.
I'm not going to say telepathic. Could it be telepathic? In other words, you don't have to speak physically, but mentally you can communicate.
That's an interesting point. I would suggest that that's not actually mental communication. That's actually a spiritual event. Because our spirits do interact with each other without our minds being consciously aware of it. Okay? For example, I've heard people say that when you pray in tongues, Satan doesn't know what you're talking about. Or if you don't say it out loud, Satan won't know what's going on. I don't see that in Scripture anywhere. And I don't see a necessity for that. Quite frankly, if I'm worshiping God in tongues, I kind of like for the devil to hear me and know what I'm saying. Kind of in your face, right? You want me to worship you, Satan? Let me tell you something. You're nothing. I'm worshiping the true God, okay? It doesn't matter to me whether Satan knows my thoughts. I know the demons and Satan do, in fact, know my thoughts. Yeah. I know for a fact, by personal experience. I've seen things in my neighborhood that I felt were inappropriate for my neighborhood, related to the occult, and I simply thought, you have no authority to be here, you must leave. Right. Sometime later, going down the same street, it was gone. I didn't say anything audibly with my voice. Demons don't have ears to hear sound waves, okay? They don't need to hear vibrations in the air for their ears to say, oh, I can hear him say something. That is not telepathic. That is spirit to spirit. Our spirits do have senses, like our physical senses. There's no evidence at all that our psyches do also. You follow me? That's a nice little rabbit trail, but...
That could have been a combination of spiritual and physical realm, because it was so real to the disciples, they wanted to build three shelters.
Yeah.
I mean, it was so physically real to them, mm-hmm. they wanted to provide something for the physical.
All right, let's look at John 1:51. I read this earlier. We read verses 48 through 51. Let's go back and look at verse 51 now. Jesus is speaking to Nathanael. He says, I tell you the truth, you shall see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. Again, the word see there is hora'o. Was Jesus referring to natural or spiritual sight here? He said, you will see heavens open and see angels of God. Was he talking about natural or spiritual sight?
Spiritual.
I would say almost certainly. Yeah. It's possible that God would cause a visible image to appear in the heavens so you can see it opening and cause the angels to be, or tell the angels to become physically visible. But I think almost certainly is a spiritual experience here. Look at Acts 8:23. Peter speaking to Simon the sorcerer. For I see, hora'o, I see that you are full of bitterness and captive to sin. Was he judging by Simon's behavior, or could he actually see his spirit? See, head's nodding, but which is it? You see it in the spirit?
It's the root cause of the spirit.
I'm sorry, what?
The root causes.
The root cause would be seen in the spirit, yes. I would suggest that Simon's behavior may indicate what Peter said, but it would be a stretch to say that he was full of bitterness and captive to sin unless he saw the man's spirit. Any other questions or comments about this verse? All right, look at Hebrews 11:27. It's speaking about Moses here. It says, by faith he, Moses, left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible. And the word saw there is hora'o. He saw him who is invisible. Now, Moses saw a burning bush, right?
Mm-hmm.
And also the Israelites saw the flame at night and the cloud during the day, right? And they followed it. There was a visible manifestation of God there that they could, everyone in the crowd could see them and follow it, right? But on the other hand, physical eyes by definition cannot see what's invisible. And this says that Moses saw him who is invisible, which suggests that God was invisible when Moses saw him, right? Otherwise, it would be irrelevant to say that. So, did God materialize into a physical realm, or did Moses see into the spiritual?
The latter.
The latter, right? Saw him in the spiritual realm. Any questions or comments on this group of scriptures here?
Well,
Now, you may be thinking... Yeah. Well, that's exactly my point here. I'm not... You may be thinking, okay, I get your point. You don't need to bore me with more scriptures. No, I'm trying to drive this home really firmly and clearly, okay? I don't want there to be any question at all in anybody's mind that it's possible for us to see in the spiritual realm. That's what I'm trying to show you. Lots of scriptural evidence.
I already told me Moses seeing a burning bush.
Yes.
The key to that was the bush didn't burn up.
Right.
It didn't burn up. They were still there when he got through. It was still a bush.
The bush was still burning. Now, by the way, it was common for bushes to burn in that desert because they were high in sap and it was very hot and they would spontaneously burst into flame. What caught his attention was it continued to burn and didn't burn up.
Didn't burn up.
Yeah, that's what made him curious.
Later, Moses asked to see God. Did God put him in the cleft of the rock?
Yes.
And he couldn't see him. only as he passed by.
Only after he had passed by. Yeah. Yes.
Mm-hmm. And he said, nobody ever sees God. If he did, you would die.
So right.
That's why Moses knew he was invisible, because he lived through every encounter.
Right.
I'm not trying to be.
Yeah.
That's
right.
Yeah. No man may see God and live. Mm-hmm. Hide yourself.
In fact, that was actually Moses' fear, because he was initially afraid to see God. I think he got used to it, though, because it says that he went to the tent of meeting every day and saw God face to face. I don't think that God took physical form every day so Moses could see him. Moses was the leader. He had a special anointing and mandate. And God changed his nature, influenced him so that he could, in fact, do what God had called him to do.
Maybe Moses was in the Spirit.
I think Moses was in the Spirit, yes. I do believe it. Since you mentioned that, there was a verse that... I'm sorry, here I go again. There is a verse that talks about, says that God told Moses, I will take the spirits on you, the spirit that is on you, and put it on these other leaders. Remember that? So there was a spiritual anointing there that was transferred from Moses to the others. So yeah, he was active in the spiritual realm there. Thank you for bringing that up.
And he was changed physically, right? I mean, Moses was changed physically when he came down.
In what way? How was he changed physically?
Was enlightened. And
he yes. He had the glory on him, so that he had to shield his face. Yes. Yeah, that's right. It did affect him physically, didn't it?
It didn't look on him.
Right. Yeah. Well, but God is in the business of redemption, to redeem what's been corrupted. Mm-hmm. And not only is he redeeming and restoring to restoring the features and abilities and so forth that Adam and Eve originally had, we are already surpassing what Adam and Eve were. Certainly when we are resurrected, when we are caught up to be with him, and we will be changed, we will be transformed, certainly at that point. But even at this point, we have more spiritual... There are certain spiritual capabilities that we have now that Adam and Eve did not.
Right.
God's plan of redemption doesn't just restore us back to man's original condition. Actually transfers us past that.
Right.
That's the way God redeems. So the latter will be greater than the former, right? That's a biblical principle. The latter will be greater than the former. So Adam and Eve were the baseline, basically. And we're going to supersede that. Because they were lords of the earth. We will be lords of the earth and the heavens. They ruled over the animals, the fish, the birds, and their land critters. We will too. We also be lording over other people and angels. So, our final statuses will be far greater than Adam and Eve's original status before they sinned. That's cool. I like that. That's the way God redeems things. And by the way, he does the same things in us incrementally in our life experiences. When we have wounds or disservices or things, afflictions or whatever things that people do to us, God can not only help us get over that, but grow past that. Okay?
So,
that's God's way of redeeming.
When we see Adam and Eve in heaven, we won't want to go up and bring their necks, because
we probably won't want to wring their necks. No, when we get to heaven. No.
Yeah. More like him, so.
until you said that, I was kind of want to do that.
Well, remember now, I talked about being transformed, Wendy, so, I, you know, I think we should be past that point, yeah, by the time we get there. Yeah, that's a good question, though. Yeah, remember the forgiveness. Yeah, forgiveness. All right, let's look at the next group of words here. Greek verb thereo. It means to see or look at. It can also mean to be a spectator or experience. Look at Luke 10:18. This Jesus is speaking here after the disciples reported their success driving out demons. Remember that? He sent them out by two, drive out demons, heal the sick, and blah, 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 and all that stuff. And when they came back and were telling them about all the great things, they said, even the demons, even the devils were subject to us, the demons were subject to us. He says, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. The word saw there is the Greek verb theoreo. So, did Jesus see that, saw Satan fall from heaven, while he was waiting for the disciples to return from their missionary trip, or when he initially expelled Satan from heaven?
Before Adam and Eve were created.
Did he see Satan expelled from heaven before Adam and Eve were created?
Yes.
Because he existed. He was there.
He was there.
Okay.
He was there originally.
Does that mean he was necessarily expelled from heaven at that point, though? Not necessarily. We don't really know, do we? Well, I think he was commenting about the disciples' recent experience. He had sent them out to drive out demons, and they came back and said, even the demons were subject to us. And he says, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I think he was commenting about their recent experience because, well, for example, he didn't say they could drive out demons because he had already kicked Satan out of heaven. No. They could drive out demons because God, because Jesus gave them the authority to do specifically that. He says, I give you authority to drive out demons and heal the sick and raise the dead. And he said, I'm sending you out two by two to drive out demons and heal the sick and all this other stuff. Okay, spread the good news. So I suggest that was Jesus responding to what he saw while the disciples were out there doing their thing. He came back and said, I know you were successful because I saw Satan fall. I think that's what his statement referred to. Otherwise, it'd be kind of like a one-upsmanship. Yeah, I know you drove out demons, but hey, I took care of that before I even came to earth, you know? No, that's not the way Jesus does things. Look at the next Greek verb there, deignomi. This verb means to show, present, or indicate to the view of others. This word is used in Luke 4:5. I believe that's the only place I have it. It says, the devil led him, Jesus, up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. The word showed there is deignomi. Would it be possible to see all the kingdoms of the world in an instant from a single mountaintop? You can only see a few miles from a mountaintop, right? You certainly can't see everything in the world. Definitely not in an instant. That's not possible with physical sight. I'm sorry, what were you saying?
Unless you're in a spaceship.
Yeah, but then it still takes you an hour to get around the world to see everything. Yeah. Well, that's not possible with physical sight. That was not possible with physical sight. All right, look at the next Greek verb, blepo. It means to see or to become aware of. John 5, verses 19 and 20. Jesus gave them this answer. I tell you the truth. The Son can do nothing by Himself. He can do only what he sees the Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all he does. In verse 19, it says, he can only do what he sees the Father doing. That word sees there is blepo. In verse 20, the Father shows the Son. That's the Greek word, deignomai. So, is this talking about physical or spiritual? The Son can only do what He sees Father doing, and the Father loves the Son and shows Him all He does. Is that spiritual or physical?
Spiritual.
Very spiritual?
Christ and the Father would have to be spiritual. It couldn't be any other way.
Well, Father could appear in physical form. Yeah.
But when He communicates with the Father, it would have to be spiritual.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think it's all the above.
It's possibly all the above, but I think the emphasis is on the spiritual. Again, we could expand this and say, well, to see God do something means I can see the results of something and I can attribute that to God. But Jesus is saying, I only do what I see Father doing. And Father shows me what he is doing. So Jesus can do his part, right? Hey, by the way, that's exactly the same ratio that we have in our interaction with God. He takes care of things, and we go through the motions so that things can happen. We pray in faith. That doesn't, our faith doesn't make the thing happen. We are authorizing God to do what he says he's going to do by speaking to faith and saying, this is what's going to happen. God does his part, we have to do our part, and vice versa. You follow me? I think we're seeing the same thing here.
What Jesus saw the Father doing was directing him to this situation, that situation, this need, that need.
Have you ever been near someone and you just sensed or even heard in your mind that you should go speak to that person about something in particular? Mm-hmm. Or that you should go do something for that person? You have no idea why you should be doing it? Mm-hmm. Would it get done if you didn't do it? Not by you, right? He may have to pick up someone else to do it, yes. But if you don't choose to participate in what God says he's going to do, then you won't be part of it. Which I would suggest is one of the primary reasons we need to emphasize hearing God's voice and seeing Amen. In the spiritual realm. Yes. That's why we're here talking about these things.
Amen.
Our obedience plays a key part in that.
Larry, in talking about that, I stand amazed every time I read the Bible, which is every day, about the disciples following Jesus, seeing what Jesus done, doing what Jesus did. He gave them the power to go out and cast out demons. And yet, you know, from one day to the next, they flipped-flop.
Yeah.
We are different today. We have the Holy Spirit. We have the awesome power of Jesus coming into our lives. And we are here studying about him and loving him. But back in those days, they were, 1 week they were one way, next week they were another way, and it flipped-flopped because they had nothing but the physical realm to be in. There was no Holy Spirit there to guide them and lead them and direct them like we have today, living within us. It was not there in those days.
That's true. So it's a good thing we don't...
What blessed we are today.
Yeah, it's a good thing we don't flip or flop today, isn't it?
Not as bad.
Not as bad. Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm.
But you're talking about the disciples when Jesus was here.
Jesus
yeah.
With the Holy Spirit until Pentecost.
All right, look at the Romans. Well, I don't know, because Jesus imparted the Holy Spirit on them before that. Look at Romans 11:8. God gave them a spirit of stupor, eyes so that they could not see, and ears so that they could not hear to this very day. The word spirit there, he gave them a spirit, the word is pneuma, and eyes so that they could not see, that's the word blepo. Can a spirit cause a person to be physically blind or deaf?
Yes.
So how do we resolve that? The spiritual. How do we resolve their blindness and deafness? We drive the spirit out, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, the word stupor, here's a Greek word I'm not going to try to pronounce. It means inability to think clearly or bewilderment. So my question is this. Since stupor relates to mental comprehension, are the resulting blindness and deafness in this verse physical or spiritual? I think it's spiritual. Inability to think clearly does not cause you to be physically blind or deaf. Right? Hello? Inability to think clearly does not cause you to be physically blind or deaf.
No.
I went through burnout. I struggle with bewilderment and inability to think clearly. I did not go blind or deaf. So we're talking about spiritual issues here. Gave them a spirit of stupor so that they had eyes they could not see and ears but they could not hear, even to this very day. Any questions or comments about anything we covered so far? The next Greek word I'd like for us to consider is the adjective typhlos. It means blind or unable to see. It means unable to understand. Look at Luke 4, verses 18 to 19. The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. The phrase recovery of sight is a Greek noun. That's the adjective form of the verb blepo that we're looking at, okay? And the word blind is the word tuflos that we're looking at. Now, preaching the good news, proclaiming freedom for prisoners. Now, by the way, to proclaim freedom from prisoners, does that necessarily mean they're released from their shackles or jail cells? No. Okay. So preaching the good news, proclaiming freedom for prisoners, releasing the oppressed are spiritual functions, not just physical, right? Certainly in the context of this verse here, because he's quoting Isaiah, which described his messianic role, right? Which was a spiritual role at that point. It will only become physical when he returns the second time to set up his kingdom or to initiate his kingdom, right? So when he was talking about what his mandate was there, his anointing was spiritual in nature. So, if preaching the good news, proclaiming freedom for prisoners, releasing the oppressed are spiritual functions, then cannot recovery of sight also be spiritual?
Yes.
I think that's exactly what it has to be. Look at the 1 John 2, verses 9 through 11. Anyone who claims to be in the light but hates his brother is still in the darkness. Whoever loves his brother lives in the light, and there is nothing in him to make him stumble. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks around in the darkness. He does not know where he is going because the darkness has blinded him. Are light and darkness physical or spiritual in this verse? Spiritual, right? The word blinded there is the verb... It's a verb related to the adjective tuflos that we're looking at. Now look at that last phrase there. The darkness has blinded him. Is it possible for physical darkness to blind someone physically?
Yes.
After a long time, right?
Yeah.
Right.
When you acclimate to it.
Right. When your eyes atrophy, actually. Only after a very long time. Certainly, but this verse is clearly not referring to natural light and darkness.
Darkness to me could also mean a lack of understanding.
Yes. Yeah.
And that, so if he understood, it would be light. If he didn't understand, it would be darkness.
Yes, and we talk about being enlightened. In fact, that's actually the translation in some of the translations I saw. Your hearts would be enlightened. No, excuse me, that's another verse. That's in Ephesians. Yes, the next one in here, isn't it? The next one is Greek noun, ophthalmos, means eye or sight or understanding. We looked at this verse in the previous session, Ephesians 1, 18 and 19. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, there's the word, in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. Now, is reference to the heart literal or figurative?
Figurative.
Figurative. Because your physical heart does not have eyes, does it? So this use of the word heart here refers to one's spirit. Your spirit does have senses. One more scripture very briefly from the New Testament, Revelation 3:18. Jesus is speaking to the church at Laodicea. He says, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in fire so you can become rich, and white clothes to wear so you can cover your shameful nakedness, and salve to put on your eyes so you can see. Is Jesus offering to make them rich? Or is he offering to cover their physical nakedness or give them medicine for their eyes? Or is this figurative language referring to spiritual needs? It's figurative referring to spiritual, right? He certainly is not expecting to come and say, I need to buy some gold from you. No. Okay.
He wants all the draws from you.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And I thought I'd throw in a bonus scripture from the Old Testament, too, because this is not just New Testament work we're talking about here. One of my favorites in this context here is 2 Kings 6:17. Elisha prayed, Lord, open his eyes so he may see. Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked and saw hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. Are these physical or spiritual horses and chariots of fire? That's right. They saw the invading army's horses and... Right? The servant could not initially see God's armies that were surrounding them and outnumbering them. By the way, it would only take one angel to take out the whole army.
That's right.
Any questions or comments about what we covered so far today, or what we have covered today? All right. You may want to review session 4, which recommended ways to cultivate your ability to experience the spiritual realm. You may want to go back and review that, because that's a good, helpful list. I continue to use those points myself. Now, I've slightly modified the recommended daily activity, which you can see physically, not spiritually. You can see it there on your worksheet. I listed out the steps. Again, I suggest you go through this every day, at least once every day. If you don't see or otherwise sense something, that's okay. Try again later. But perseverance is the key here. It always is when we're entering new territory. It takes time to develop a new skill. Closing thought, according to Hebrews 5:14, I encourage you to train yourself by continually using your spiritual senses. Thank you. The Lord bless you. I look forward to seeing you next week.
Thank you.
What day is session 4?